started up the bike on and was revving the bike, but and not sure how it all happened. Suddenly, the bike crashed through the glass doors. The man found his bike on one side of the room, himself on another side of the room, with glass and blood and petrol all over the floor. His wife rushed in, saw it, and called the emergency services, and the paramedics came out and took her husband to the hospital. And so the wife decided that she would quickly clean up the place so it was all ready for him, cleaned up the, swept up the glass, cleaned up the blood, and then she took some, she wanted to clean up the petrol that was on the floor, so took some toilet paper and cleaned up the petrol, and then she was on her way to go to the hospital, but she dumped this toilet paper in the loo and just on her rush out didn't flush the loo paper. So anxious to get to the hospital, she then he saw that he was all sorted out. She brought him home and he was wanting to settle his nerves because he was so uptight by what happened. He decided that he would go sit on the loo and have a smoke. Hello, you guys are quick here, hey. So he sat on the loo and finished the cigarette. You know what it's like when you're all agitated? We all go to our go-to places. He was sitting on the loo, finished the cigarette, and when he had finished with it, his nerves all calmed. The butt of the cigarette, he just flicked into the toilet as he just flicked it into the toilet. Well, you know what happened. The next thing, there was this massive boom. His dear wife came into the bathroom, saw the man lying on one side, his trousers on the other side. And so there she was on the, this is a true story. And that's quite hectic, eh? And so she was back on the buzzer again, phoned the emergency services, and lo and behold, the same paramedics came out. And they're probably thinking, what the heck is going on with this family? So they got this man onto a stretcher, and as they were taking him down the stairs, and as they were taking him down the stairs, his wife was relaying to the paramedics what had happened. They were laughing so much that the stretcher tilted, and the man fell off and broke his arm. True story, I promise you, it was actually in the newspaper. Can you imagine? That family never saw that day coming. But that's just like life. And I think on a serious note for us here this evening, do you know there are times that there are things that happen to us in life that we just never saw coming. Anybody out there can testify to that. When you thought, I never thought it would be me getting the news that my parents are getting divorced. Everything looks so beautiful in our home. I never thought it would be me getting caught up in that drug addiction. After all, we were just experimenting as friends. I never thought that hanging around those kids would land me in the place where I find myself right now, which is not in a good place. I never thought there would come a day that we would leave our family home because my dad lost his job and is unable to find work. And so we've lost everything as a family. I never thought that this relationship would become so toxic. After all, he is a Christian, and now I find myself in this place. I know that so many of us can relate to these statements. Do you know that weekly we get prayer cards that come in that you write? I just don't get the opportunity to write it, but I promise you, if I was sitting there every single week, I'd be filling in a prayer card. But these prayer cards come into our pastoral team and to our ministry team, and we pray into these things that you write down. And the things that we write down is in the area of relational breakdown, financial stress and struggle, unemployment, a child that's in addiction, a family member that is ill. These are the prayer concerns that come to us. We think of those who are struggling in the area of sickness and just the uncertainty of a nation. And as a pastoral team, we feel the burden. We felt the burden to pray into these things. And then we felt the burden and prompted by the Holy Spirit that we needed to speak into the subject of, I never saw that coming. I never saw it coming. I didn't see it coming. And go to God's word and let it speak to us in times of darkness, because often in a time of darkness, it's when hope dissipates. And that's when we need to be so focused on the very presence of God. And that's why from the 22nd of October, next week, we're speaking into prayer. I never saw it coming. What's going to help us to stand? And so starting from the 22nd to the 26th of October, from Monday through to Friday, as a church, we are going to fast and pray together. Because you know what? On your faith journey, you can't do this in your own strength. Our rallying cry is God first. God is always our first response, not a second response. And so we're going to take some time to pray. And I want to encourage you to make this a part of your practice and your habit. You know what prayer is? Prayer is about a relationship with God. Prayer is about God speaking to you and you speaking to God. It is creating the space when you come into stillness so that God can connect with you. And the reason for that connection and the reason for the emphasis on prayer is that through that discipline and that practice, God can do the work of transformation in your lives for the sake of a world that is also lost and didn't see things coming their way. And that's why God wants to do this in our lives. And so we're creating that space. And I want to encourage you when it comes to fasting, maybe you've never done that. Can I encourage you to, it's a practice actually that the Bible speaks about and Jesus lived and so did his disciples and the New Testament church and the churches, the church down through the ages. So maybe you're saying, I don't know how to do this. Well, talk to your life group leaders, talk to Kelly, talk to Stephen, because we really want to help you with this practice. Because you know what, when life comes at us and we didn't see it coming, it is this that helps us to stand and to weather the storms and the challenges of life. So that's what we're going to do. And then on Wednesday morning at 6 o'clock, we have a prayer service. And Wednesday evening at 7 o'clock, we have a prayer service. And then I know that the nation, we're going to be praying that there's a call for prayer on Saturday the 27th. I want to really encourage you as well to pray. They are expecting 5 million people to rock up to pray. Why are we praying for our nation? Because there's some things we didn't expect. We didn't see that coming. We never saw the massive corruption coming. Not that it's only in this government, it was also in the previous government. And so we need God. So what do you do in those times when you feel like the rug has been pulled out from under your feet? Or when you find yourself in the middle of a storm that you never saw coming? How do you stand? How do you weather it? How do you navigate it so that you're not actually caught off guard and left stranded? Because you know what? This Bible, when you read the New Testament and you read the Old Testament and the teachings of Jesus Christ, all of that, these stories are here to help you. That's your story wrapped up in the greater story, the story of God's love. And so that's what we're going to be looking at when you and I are caught in the middle of the storm. How do we get to the other side of that storm? Because so often we pray prayers of deliverance when God says, no, I want to take you through the storm. Because when I take you through the storm, there are things that I'm doing inside of you, things that you're learning about the character and the nature of God, that he can be trusted. There are things that you're learning about yourself, that you're just human after all, and so you are going to feel afraid. You are going to have moments of feeling afraid. And so God wants you to know that and to learn that. And so this evening, I want to take some time and share with you how you can face those things that you didn't see coming. And maybe what you're facing right now, the storm you're facing right now, is different to the storm that I face. And I loved what one writer said, and I can't remember if it was Dallas Willard who said it, but somebody said, you are either in a storm, coming out of a storm, or going into a storm. Okay, so we're there somewhere, because that's life. That's life, and Jesus wants us to become aware that storms and hardship and suffering and difficulties are all part of the reality of life, because he said that in this world you will have trouble. And you're saying, Bobby, but why? Surely that shouldn't be, because we live in a broken world and we are broken people. And that's why God has come to show us in his word how you and I can weather these things in our human body, in our humanity. So Matthew, the gospel writer, records for us such an incident, a story in Matthew chapter 14, where the disciples find themselves in a storm, not only a storm that Jesus pushed them into. Hello? You mean he does stuff like that? Well, I don't know. But in this account, we see that actually it was Jesus who told them to get into the boat very urgently and get out onto the seas. And so the disciples found them in a storm that they didn't see coming. So I want us to, we're going to read that passage and just familiarize ourselves with it for a moment. Matthew 14, verses 22 through to 33. And this is how it reads. Immediately after this, and we'll come back to that. What is Jesus referring to here? Jesus insisted that his disciples get back into the boat and crossed to the other side of the lake while he sent the people home. After sending them home, he went up to the hill by himself to pray. Night fell while he was there alone. Meantime, the disciples were in trouble far away from land, for a strong wind had risen, and they were fighting heavy waves. Remember, they were rowing in this boat, heavy waves, and about 3 o'clock in the morning, Jesus came toward them walking on the water. Can you imagine? They find themselves in the storm. Can you imagine the shock of an apparition or a ghost or a spook coming towards you? Now, this is like a double whammy for these poor boys. And so they're terrified. What is this? Who is this that we're seeing before our eyes? And when the disciples saw him walking on the water, they were terrified. And in their fear, they cried out, "It's a ghost." But Jesus spoke to them at once. Because you see, that is God. He doesn't want us to sit in our fear. He immediately addresses what they were feeling in their body. Fear. Shock. And he says to them, "Don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here." Then Peter, having heard those words, you know that those words gave him courage? Because then Peter says, "Lord, if it is you, tell me to come." And immediately Jesus responds to that little bit of faith, because it was a little bit of faith. And he says to Peter, "Come." And so Peter gets out of the boat. Can you just imagine for a moment? By the way, Jesus hadn't yet calmed the storm when Peter got out of the boat. Peter gets out of the boat in the height of the storm. The waves are bashing against the boat, and Peter responds to the invitation of Jesus Christ, "Come." And I believe that there's an invitation that goes out to us tonight where Jesus says, "Come. I know the storm is raging, but guess what? You can still come to me." It is an invitation that is issued every single day. And you and I get to choose whether we're going to respond to it or not. And so Jesus says, "Come." And so Peter's walking on the water. He gets out of the boat. The other 11 are in the boat. He gets out of the boat and he starts walking on water. Can you just imagine this Peter who's so brave? And as he's walking, I just wonder if Peter had that moment, the realization, because the Bible tells us that he starts sinking, the realization, "Oh my goodness, I can't swim." Boom. And so Peter begins to sink, and Peter's going up and down, his head under the water. And you know, the beautiful thing is that Jesus immediately responds to that. He sees Peter is in trouble as Peter cries out and says, "Save me, Lord." And so Jesus responds. He says, "You have so little faith. Why did you doubt me, Peter?" When they climb back into the boat, that's when the wind stopped. Then the disciples worshiped him. "You really are the Son of God," they exclaim. Now the scene that is unfolding here is happening close to the Sea of Galilee towards the end of a very long day. Jesus and the disciples had just fed over 5,000 men, is what the Bible tells us. There were women and children as well. They just see this beautiful miracle because the people were hungry after they'd been with Jesus the whole day, so Jesus feeds them. But earlier that day, that actually got the most devastating news that the cousin of Jesus, John the Baptist, had been brutally murdered. He had been beheaded. Hello, how's this? A little girl, a little snot-nosed girl calls for John's head. I mean, like, seriously, what's wrong with the kings and the men in those days? And so the king complies. And so they get the news. What had happened, and now they're ready, all of this in a busy day of ministry. They're tired, they're exhausted, and they're looking for a peaceful end to the day. I guess there was a lot of excitement, but also a huge amount of sadness having gotten that news. Now Jesus, in the midst of all of that, feels the need for time alone with his Father. Loved what you said, the presence. Everything that you need is found in the presence of God. Do you need strength? It's in the presence. Do you need grace? It's in the presence. Do you need faith? It's in the presence. Do you need healing? It's in the presence of God. And this is the most incredible thing that you and I are going to learn from this story, is that God makes a promise through his Son, Jesus Christ, that he will always be with us. Forget everything else, but remember that. The promise to God that he will always be with you. That is the fidelity and the faithfulness of God, that no matter what you are going through, he will help and be with you through every storm. That, take that with you. We can actually wrap it up here and now and pray. And some of you are saying, amen, Barbie. So that's what's happening. And this is the rhythm and the pattern of Jesus. You see this in how he lived out his life. After an intense day of ministry, after the bad news, you know what he does? His pattern and his rhythm is that he goes and seeks some time of solitude with his Father. And I want to encourage us, let that become patterns and rhythms of our lives. You say, how do I do that? Well, it's something that you've got to practice. And see, he gets up to the hill to go and be alone with his Father. And in the meantime, the disciples are in the boat that Jesus had told them to get into and get to the other side. And so they find themselves in the boat. They cross in the Sea of Galilee. And imagine, just for a moment, imagine that it was Jesus that was leading them into a boat. And so he sends the crowd home, and slowly the crowd is dispersing, the disciples on the boat, and Jesus is alone on the hill, when suddenly this tranquil scene below, that the disciples are in the boat and they're going to just cross beautifully to the other side. Suddenly the picture changes and a storm whips up, and the waves are whipping up against the boat because the strong winds had risen and they were fighting the heavy waves, feeling like the whole boat would sink. Darkness descended in that moment, blocking out the stars, blocking out the sun, blocking out the moon, blocking everything out. Do you know what happens when darkness descends? You know what happens? You're disoriented. Anybody? You walk in a dark room, you're disoriented. Right, Stefan? Yeah. You're disoriented. And so darkness descends and creates panic and confusion. And the overwhelming emotion on the boat is fear, is what the Bible tells us. What do you do when you suddenly find yourself in the middle of a storm? When you find yourself in the middle of a storm of a relationship that has gone seriously sour? When you find yourself in a financial storm? When you find yourself in a diagnosis storm? When you find yourself in a storm where you feel like God is so far, you don't know where he is. What do you do then when you find yourself in a storm of cynicism and doubt? In a storm of anger and disappointment with God, because this is our reality. What do you do when you find yourself in the middle of the storm? What do you do in life's worst moments? Just think about right now, what would be the worst thing to ever happen in your life? And we're all at different stages and seasons of life. What do you do in life's worst moments? I know what our human response is initially, by the way, because you are human beings. Do you know that? By the way, if somebody pinched you, you would feel it. If you cut yourself, you would feel it. So we're living out our Christian journey in this human body. We are experiencing God in our human body. So our human response initially would be shock. Didn't see that coming. I never ever thought that would happen to me. I thought we were going to retire and enjoy the next 20 years of our life. I never ever expected to get the phone call that he had this massive stroke. I never saw it coming. Shock. I never thought that would happen to me. Fear, panic, confusion. And that's what Jesus speaks into. You know, he doesn't ignore our human emotion. He speaks right into it. When he says to the disciples who found themselves in this place, he says, don't be afraid. Because he knows we are human. He knows that we are people. We are frail. We are vulnerable. That an initial response to bad news or an initial response to something that is traumatic is shock. He's not saying don't deny it, because after you are a follower of Jesus and you're supposed to be singing hallelujah past the sugar. In a time like that, we had a friend who used to say that everything was hallelujah, and we would say hallelujah, everything for crying out aloud, and so we added hallelujah past the sugar. It's like those crazy kind of people, you know, it's like, for goodness sake, you can't deny it, nobody can cast that out of you, lay feet on you and say, out of it in Jesus' name. No, no, no. Jesus acknowledges that we are human. He knows the human condition. So he speaks into it so many times when he says, don't be afraid, and said, in this world you will have trouble. But he makes this promise to us that he will get us through the storm. And he wanted the disciples to know that truth, that he was always going to be with them, because they needed to get it. I'll tell you why. Because you and I needed to get it. You and I needed to get it. These were going to be the leaders of the early church. These were the apostles, and they were going to be carriers of the message in how to deal when life comes at you, when the unexpected happens, when things happen in your life that you didn't see coming. And so they needed to get it, because they were going to be the carriers of the message, the apostles. So he wanted them to get the truth that he was always going to be with them, regardless of where they found themselves in life. Do you know that in this incident in Mark chapter 14, he wasn't with them in the boat. In fact, a previous incident, they were in the storms. The disciples knew all about storms. In Matthew chapter 8, there was another storm incident where Jesus is actually in the boat. But this time around in Matthew chapter 14, he's not in the boat with them. These men are all on their own in the middle of the darkness and a storm that has descended upon their lives. But Mark picks up something that is interesting. When he relays his story of Matthew chapter 14, he says that when Jesus, Matthew doesn't pick it up but Mark does, because the gospel writers bring different nuances to the same narrative. But Mark says this: he was sitting on the hill with his father and he was watching the disciples in the storm. And that's the most incredible thing, that God might seem distant or far away from us, but he's not. Because God is always watching us. Whether you're in a good place in your life or in a bad place in your life, there is never, ever a moment that you are not under the gaze of God. Now, that could be very scary, where maybe you know, oh, I'm getting up to things that I shouldn't. God can see everything, and he does. But this is what I want to say to us as a church tonight. When you find yourself in the worst storm in your life, you are always under the gaze of God. And the gaze of God, it's always a loving gaze. It's not a gaze of judgment. It's not a gaze of condemnation. It is the loving gaze of God that says, I see you, I know where you are, and I'm going to get you through this. So Mark says in his narrative that Jesus saw that they were in trouble, rowing hard and struggling against the wind and the waves. Do you know that earlier in chapter 10 of the book of Matthew, he says this, when he talks about that, there's never a moment that you're not under the gaze of God. He says that not a single, isn't this beautiful? Listen to it, to you poets out there. Not a single sparrow falls to the ground without your Father knowing it. And that the very hairs on your head are numbered. So don't be afraid. You are more valuable to God than a flock of sparrows. Genesis 28:15 says, I am with you and I watch over you wherever you go. You're saying, Bobby, there are times I don't want God to see me but listen, he's committed to you whether you're committed to him or not. He loves you whether you'd return that love to him or not, because that is the nature of God. Psalm 121 says, the Lord watches over your coming and your going, both now and forevermore. My heart has been encouraged again and again and again with the knowledge of this truth that God is always watching me. Do you know that in the services when I say to you, notice the God who is with you? Do you know I say that? Because the truth of the matter is that God is always present with us. Always, 24/7. But we're not always aware of it. And so we need to practice becoming aware of the presence of God. And then Daniel said something this morning, and I think Sean also said it. Notice how he's looking at you. Become aware of it. How are you looking at him? Am I looking at God? The God who's looking at me. Become aware of these things. And so that encourages my heart that there's never a moment that we're not out of the gaze of God, whether your life is going well or you find yourself like that one sheep that Jesus had to come after, or the prodigal son. God's got you. There are three things that Jesus said to them when he came to them in the storm. Three things when he comes walking to them. Three things that he says, and I want you to hear this. Three things that he says to you this evening in the storm that you find yourself, whatever that storm is, maybe it is a marriage storm, maybe it is a family storm, maybe it is a financial storm, whatever that storm is, maybe it is a storm of regret. I don't know. He says to you, don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here. Another translation is, take heart. It is I. Take heart. It is I. But that's what he says. He wanted them to know that because Jesus knew that the disciples were going to go into even greater storms. They were going to greater challenges. They were going to face even greater hardships. And you just need to go read about the hardships of Paul. And God wanted us not to become undone by these things, but he wanted us to know how to stand so that we could navigate and weather the storms of life that come our way. So he says this to them, that there's some things that you and I are called to practice. And I think that's a very good thing for us to practice. Don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here. Because, you know, sometimes the script that we have in our head is, so what's the point? I'm just going to go fishing. You know that Peter said that. What's the point? God, do you even care? Do you love me? Do you even notice the pain? Do you even see the anguish that I'm in? Do you know the trouble in God? You actually could have prevented me taking that first sniff. You could have prevented all of this. Do you care? And that's often the script that we have in our head. And what God wants us to do and what he wanted his disciples to get you, because this was a message they were going to communicate to the early church, the new church, and the church down through the centuries. They were going to communicate this. They were going to put it in written form. Everything was oral. It was now going to be written. He's take courage. Don't be afraid. Take courage. I am here. God wants us to rehearse a different script. How do we do that? Well, one of the ways is to memorize scripture. What? Yes. Memorize, just maybe ask God to give you a couple of verses that when you are afraid that you are your go-to verses, and there are a whole lot of it. You know that the Bible tells us that there are 360 don't be afraid verses, a verse for every single day. So go and find 365 verses. And one author said, actually, he found 366 because the other one was to cover leap year. Okay. You know, these kind of nerds out there. You and I are called to rehearse a different script. God, you're not going to let me down. Father, you're going to see me through this. God, this is not my lot for life, that I can have a new beginning, that it is not over, that I can dream again, that I can dare again, that I will rise up. And you know what? Can I say this for some of you? Can these bones, yes, these bones can live again. And you think that the dream is over, that it's just dry bones. It's not. Ezekiel asked, can these bones live again? Yes. Yes. Because of God. They can live again. If you came into my house, you would see on my library that I have in my family kitchen area, I have a cross, a Coptic cross, and just below it, I actually have the skull of a springbok that was shot by a friend of Luke's. And I asked for it because I wanted to put it up against my cross, because it's a visual reminder when I'm in a place of fear and doubt, and I say to myself, can these bones, Barbie? And God says, yes. Can these bones live again? Can I dream again? Can I dare again that I can get out of water? So God says to you, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Do you know what a fear and anxiety is? It cripples people. And God says, that's not what I want for your life. Your enemy would love to keep you in that place of fear, because whenever fear grips us and anxiety grips us, it reduces our world. It makes our world so small. You can't dream. And he says to us in Isaiah 41:10, so do not fear, for I am with you. Do not be dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you, is what God says. I will help you. Do you need strength? Do you need help to get over a disappointment? He says, I will uphold you with my righteous. And then a verse that Danny brought last Sunday night, Philippians chapter 4. You can't get a more beautiful portion of scripture that speaks into fear and anxiety than when Paul is writing from a prison cell. He says, don't worry about anything. Are you worried about your future? Are you worried about that mistake that you made in your past? Are you worried about, God, I've got a 4-year degree and I don't even know if I'm going to get into my field? God says to you, don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. That's what we're going to be doing. Tell God what you need. In other words, you've got to get into the presence of God. You've got to create the space. You've got to create the conditions so that God, you can tell God. And then wait for God to respond, by the way. He does speak even in the silence. And then the Bible tells us his peace, which we spoke into last week. How do we stand when the unexpected hits the shores of our life? It's when you and I can practice the peace and the presence of God in our lives. He says to us, take courage. I love this word. Take courage, because it's in this world you will have trouble, but take courage. You know what the word courage means? It essentially means surrender. That's what it is. Take courage. I know you're in a hard place. I know you're in a hard place. It means, take courage means you can dare to dream again. It's a command that he says. It's not a suggestion. He says to you, take courage. South Africa, take courage. Edge Church, take courage. Daniel, take courage. Jordan, take courage. I know where you are. Take courage. Don't put your hope in anyone else or in any situation, but trust me that I'm with you in the storm. And then he uses this beautiful phrase when he says, I am you. The word I am is the divine name of God. It was when God used it with Moses, when Moses was complaining and having a moment. And he says, how am I going to do this? You know, how am I going to lead your people? And God says, well, God, who's going to go with me? And he says, I am. In your storm, in your fear, in your doubt, in your disappointment, in your regrets, in your shattered dreams, when you feel like my life is just a husk, God says, I am here. I'm the one who's going to lead you through the storm. I'm here, and that's all you need. I will go with you. I will be with you. Now, Jesus is using the same name that was used of his father when he said, I am here. Whatever you face, whatever you go through, I am here. So my question to you this evening is, what storm are you facing? Remember, I asked it earlier. What storm are you facing? What didn't you see coming and it landed on the shore of your life and you are just feel like you splattered on the roof? Somebody said they had a spatula ministry. When you get splattered, you need a spatula to take that person off because life has just flattened them. Spatula ministry. You know what that is? An egg lifter. When that's safe, sometimes life feels like it's just, and you need an egg lifter ministry. Well, that's what God says he is. What storm are you facing? Is your parents' divorce? Is it that storm there where you find yourself in that self-harming cutting? You're saying, God, I don't know if I'm ever going to. God, I want to, but I can't. Is it a storm of abuse that nobody knows about, but you do? Or maybe it's something that's history, but you've never told anybody, but you sit with the darkness of that reality, that storm. I want you to see Jesus who comes to you in the storm. I'm going to invite you to close your eyes. Tell God what that storm is. Say, God, I'm in this place. Just put everything down. Don't connect with anybody. This is you and God moments. Now that you've told God what the storm is in your life and what you are facing, maybe you're not in a storm. That's fantastic. But all of this message is so that you can be an encouragement to others who are in a storm. And then I want you to see Jesus who comes to you right in the middle of your storm. Just imagine for a moment that you're in your storm and Jesus has come to you. What do you want to say to him? Just be honest, by the way. Maybe it is, God, I'm disappointed. Father, I'm scared you're going to let me down. You're not going to bring me through this. God, I don't know if I can trust you with this. What do you need? What are you going to say? What do you say to him? Just take a moment. Maybe you're like Peter, who says, Lord, if it's really you, with a little bit of doubt in his voice, please tell me to come. Maybe that's a longing of your heart. You're saying, God, I haven't stepped out of my comfort zone for so long. God, I want to do some water walking here. God, I want to believe again. I want to dream again. I've been so safe. But there's some things Jesus wants to say to you tonight. If you're like Peter, he says, come. Or if you're like Peter, he says, help me, Lord, I'm drowning. He says, okay. But what he says to every single one of us here tonight, he says, don't be afraid. Take courage. Take courage. I'm here. I am here. I'll take you through the storm. That's my promise and my commitment to you tonight. And some of you, you need to hear those words. You need to get up every morning and say that to yourself, or maybe you just need to write it out. Speak it over your life. Rehearse the new script for your life, and it will help you through the storm.